And let Jesus take over. Oh, give up. And let Jesus take over. Say, I believe it. Do you believe he will make a way for you? Has he made a way for you? Have you got past victories that you could testify about? Have you got past battles? But have you got victories that resulted from them battles? He's our king tonight. He's in the business of delivering his people. Give him a big hand clap of praise. You love him tonight with all your heart. Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in church on Saturday night? What an opportunity God has given you and me to be in the house of the Lord. I'd rather be here than anywhere I could think of tonight. How about you? Other than glory, this is the second best place to be. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. Brethren, if you will, play some more of that. Give me some presents.
Got burdens that you can't bear. Oh, and if you got problems that seem more than your share, just tell Jesus, I know He is the one
Tonight, don't you? Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at our prayer request. I want to pray for Sister Clara Moore. She's in the hospital and I understand very serious condition. Has taken a turn for the worse. And also pray for that family that the Lord would be mindful of them tonight. Sister Clara Moore, let's remember her tonight as we pray. Also, Brother Michael Wall's daughter has been sick since Thursday, just real sick and body needs a healing from the Lord. Let's pray for that child that the Lord would be mindful of her tonight. Sister Linda Jablonski wants to thank the Lord for touching her. She still has more tests to be done, so we just pray that the Lord would give her good results on those tests. I want to pray for all the police officers in our assembly. And all around the world, just seem like police officers are being the focal point of hatred now. So let's pray for our police officers here in our local assembly and those around the world. Would you do that tonight? Amen. Let's do that. All those that are graduating this year, please turn in a photo and graduating announcement to the library within the next 2 weeks so that the monitor in our library can be updated. So would you please do that? If you're graduating this year, don't forget to turn in a photo, an announcement, and information about your graduation. If you do that, Sister Trina Bentley says to please remember our cousin Pat. She needs healing from the Lord. The doctors are saying there's nothing else they can do. We know that God is able to move in this situation, so we'll just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. Sister Brenda Harmon, sick with headaches. Let's remember her in prayer tonight. Also, Elena Lewis, very sick. Someone requested prayer on her behalf, so let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Belinda Perry is in the hospital. Something wrong with her blood. Brother Fred Perry sends in that prayer request on her behalf tonight. We'll just commit that need unto the Lord. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we'll just commit these things unto the Lord. We're serving a wonderful risen Savior. Aren't you glad He is risen? Aren't you glad He's still God? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. Brother Rob, would you come tonight? Lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these requests. We just commit these things unto the Lord. We're glad that God is in our midst tonight in this service, aren't we? Amen. Bless you, buddy. Amen. Appreciate you.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, once again we come before you in prayer with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord. Thank you for the grace that you've bestowed upon us. I thank you, Lord, for your people. I thank you, Lord, for placing me in this body. Lord, letting me recognize who I am and what it is that I can do in this life to please you. I thank you, Lord, for prayer requests that are made. And I remember a message that I heard shortly. I think it was today, Lord, that the sea, when Moses needed to pass the sea, that the sea got fearful. Lord, I pray, Lord, that sickness and disease and all these things that we battle would become fearful when the sons of God take a knee to bow before you in prayer, Lord, as sons. Not as slaves, Lord, as not as servants, but as sons. We ask, Lord, with confidence and boldness that the grace of God would just saturate this building. Have your presence be welcome in this place. And we thank you, Lord, for all the things you do for us. We look forward to the opening of your word, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the day that's coming shortly that we come to see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming this service tonight, we pray it would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's pledge allegiance tonight to our Lord. Is that all right with everybody? You like to renew your pledge of allegiance to Him? You know, I believe this will happen. I might be wrong, but I believe this will happen. I believe Brother Branham even made this statement. When we look back and we know that in this life we're buffeted, we're tormented, we're vexed, we're aggravated by the enemy. Practically every day of our life we are. He's a very good adversary. But you know what? This is what I like to look at, Brother Wes. On that day, when I get to look at him, and I see the little wimp that's aggravated me all my life, and we'll all look and say, you mean that is what aggravated us? That little wimp is what aggravated us. We're serving a big God. We're serving a risen Savior. The devil is just as defeated tonight as he's ever been. When he got kicked out of heaven, he forfeited every privilege that he had ever had. He forfeited every bit of it. He's nothing but a bluff. Somebody say he's nothing but a bluff. He's nothing but a bluff. He's a little wimp. Let's give our risen Savior a hand clap of praise tonight in the house of God. Singer, buddy.
I've heard how Christ.
Let's sing it with everything we've got, church.
The tyrant strong. They were told that he would spare them.
Oh, that's right.
If they would renounce the name. Let's stand and go.
your name. I bless your name. Let's sing that little chorus tonight just before we change the order of the service. Let's bless His name tonight. You've experienced a beautiful day here in East Tennessee or wherever you came from. It's been a beautiful day. You know what? Every second that you live, Brother Terry, it's a gift from the Lord. Every second that we get to spend on this earth. If I die tonight, I have lived a wonderful life. I don't know how about you, but I've lived a wonderful life. If I die tonight, He don't owe me nothing. He has been the best thing to me that I've ever seen in my life. Do you feel that way about Him tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, let's give Him another hand clap of praise. Sing that verse for me, if you will. Let's bless His name tonight.
In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes.
Oh, yes, sir.
All inside. Let's pray.
They pray. Sing about it, church. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for a little while tonight. Is Brother Brandon Green in the house tonight? Is he here, Brother Brandon? Somebody tell me if he's here or not. He was supposed to sing. Where's he at? Brandon, are you here? I don't see him. All right. Brother Justin Reagan, is he here in the house tonight? Come on, Brother Justin. Would you sing me a song tonight? Amen. Let's sing this little chorus tonight. This is kind of gets you woke up because you don't seem like you're awake yet. Let's get ourselves woke up. kind of do something like that to somebody and tell them, say, wake up, we're having church. It won't hurt to go ahead and do that. Tell them, wake up, say, we're having church here tonight. Now, I don't expect you to get up here and hang from these chandeliers, but I do expect you to work with me. You got to work with me. You going to work with me? Are you going to work with me? Are you going to work with me? You're trying, aren't you? I want you to sing. We'll help you tonight. I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. How many of you are glad you're soldiers tonight? The rest of you don't care whether you're a soldier. How many of you are glad you're a soldier in the army of the Lord? I see right now I'll let you sit down too soon. Let's stand back up. All of you that can, if you can't, we understand. But all of you that can, let's stand and let's sing with all of our heart. We're soldiers tonight. You're not a defeated army. You're a victorious army. Somebody say, I believe it. Give me one more hand clap of praise. Sing it, buddy.
I don't know how to sing this Sinking Creek style.
That's right. I don't either.
I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord.
Oh, let's sing it, church.
Well, I'm a soldier in this army of the Lord.
Yes, I'm
a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. If I die, I want to die in this army of the Lord. If I die, let me die in this army of the Lord. If I die, let me die in this army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord.
I'm a soldier. Yes, I'm a soldier
in this army.
Well, I'm a soldier.
Army of the Lord.
I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord.
If I fight, I want to fight in this army of the Lord.
For somebody else to do my praising, but let me die in this army of the Lord. You know why? Because He's done so much for me, I can't help but praise Him.
Amen.
I owe it to Him to praise Him. He deserves every ounce of strength that you and I have got tonight. He is worthy. He deserves it. So if I die, let me die
in the army of the Lord.
Lord, if I die, let me die. Oh, if I die, let me die
in this army of the Lord.
As you're seated tonight, sing it, buddy.
Can't even walk. Somebody requested I sing a song. I think I sung it one time. I came up here after service, and apparently somebody was impressed. Give it all I got every time I come up here and sing. And I love singing in front of you people. I've been meaning to say that for a long time. I've sung in a lot of places. I've sung in little Baptist youth rallies and little Methodist youth rallies, and I've sung at different camps, and there's nothing like singing at home. I love each and every one of you that supports it. I get here. It's great. I love it, and I just love singing for the Lord. I love it. Well, I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought that I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you.
get to a place that we think we can do it without him, we're in a mess of trouble. Ain't that right? St. John chapter 6, verse 37. Let's take a walk tonight, if we shall, down the gallery of sovereignty with our loving Father. St. John 6:37, the second attribute of God, which is the body of God, the humanity of God. Not another person now, but the same God made in the form of a human being, said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They won't pray about it. They won't think about it and then consider their decision. But if they're given to him by the Father, they will come. These are the words of Jesus. He ought to know, shouldn't he? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Of course, this is in the call of eternal election. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, what you notice, this is not described to any power in them or any will or any choice. Verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. I can come to God anytime I get ready. Not according to Jesus, you can. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me. Look at this word now. This is the word that Jesus used. The word draw. To draw, metaphorically, to draw by inward power, lead, or impel. In the Greek, it is such a powerful word. We lose a little bit of it in the English, but it is with such power that it's an irresistible force. Now, friend, we realize as we go on in time, this is why a lot of folks never stay when they come to supposedly God or when they supposedly come to the Word. It's because God never drew them. If God draws them, there ain't no getting away. It's irresistible. Praise the Lord. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. I don't know, maybe I'm listening to this wrong, but to me, all this sounds so positive and so affirmative that it's just security, that's all you can say. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Praise God. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with kindness have I drawn thee. Let's bow our heads together, shall we? And we would like to be remembered tonight before the Lord. God bless you. Me too. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you for your great, immutable counsel. We thank you for the revealing of your word. For we know when your word is further revealed, it is the further revealing of your person. We know that you could have chosen the sun, the moon, the stars, nature, to declare yourself. You could have chosen them to have spoken the gospel And they would have certainly been more faithful than I or any other mortal that you've ever dealt with. Yet you chose men. We are so grateful tonight for that, that you desired to reveal yourself through us. We ask tonight, Father, that once again, may the great manifestation of our God be revealed among us. Lord, we don't desire to hear or know something necessarily new, but something that has already been revealed, yet made more real to us. We know the word manifested and manifestation is the word phanerio, which means to be made declared or made more real. So it can be real, and yet a further revelation of it become more visible or more real to us. And that's what we ask for tonight. For we believe that if we could understand you better, understand our relationship to you in a better way, it would give us the ability to overcome in a greater way. Speak to us tonight your great word, Father. We sit at your table once again, the table of the great King. We thank you for the personal invitation that you've given to each of us tonight. Father, speak to us, we ask, in Jesus' name. And the saint said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. May the Lord help us tonight. May the apocalypse of his person be so real to us that we will leave this place with a better understanding of him than what we had when we come in. We know that that doesn't necessarily mean that we will be overwhelmed by sentence after sentence or word after word or paragraph after paragraph of his greatness. All it takes really is just one word for him to make himself known in a greater revelation of one word in our lives and we'll be a better person.
Amen.
We think sometimes by volume and by number and by many words or by the putting together of many phrases or many paragraphs is what it will take to make us a better people. But if God could simply take the meaning or the understanding of one word right here tonight and make that one word more clear to us as individuals, that one word could empower us in such a way that it would give us a greater understanding and enable us in a greater way than years and years and years of theology and knowledge and human understanding. That is the power that lays in spiritual illumination, which only God can do. And I'm afraid many times that we depend so upon preachers and even our own ability of reading and understanding that we get to a spot that we don't even ask God from day to day to empower us by the power of revelation. But remember, no matter how great preachers you sit under, how great men that you listen to, it still takes the Spirit of God to make it real to you as an individual. I love the way Brother Branham deals with it and brings it down to the individual basis. In Demonology, paragraph 18, he says, you see him in the sunsets. Get acquainted with God and you'll see him in his great move in nature. You see him in the sunsets, in the flowers, everywhere. You can see him all around you because he's all around you. Now listen, you see him all around you because he's all around you. That gives you perfect confidence that you're in love with him and he's in love with you. He loved you, predestinated you, foreordained you before the foundation of the world, has brought you here, saved you, cleansed you up, filled you with the Holy Spirit. How could you have doubt? That gives you a perfect settling of faith. When you know these things, that gives you courage. And my, you know where you are standing. So you mean knowing that we're foreordained, knowing that we're predestinated, knowing that we're called, actually empowers us to let us know where we're standing. Then I ask you, friends, is there an importance in us understanding election, foreknowledge, predestination? Now, in comparison, for those of you that haven't done it, when you get time sometime, I want you to sit down and type in your message infobase, if you have it, type in the words new birth. Type in the words born again. And type in the words, once you get done looking at born again, and you see the three times they are mentioned in the New Testament, then I want you to type in predestinate. And then I want you to type in predestinated. Then I want you to type in predestination. Then I want you to type in elect and elected and election and foreknow and foreknew and foreknowledge. And then you tell me when you get done typing all that in and you listed over here the amount of times that they are mentioned and you tell me just by sheer counting them and see if you don't think it has an importance in the Word of God. You type in seven seals with parentheses so you get exactly or quotation marks the amount of times Brother Branham says it. And then you type in with quotation marks seven thunders with the amount of times that he says it. And then whatever your favorite subject that you like to study. And then you type in elect and elected and election and predestinate and predestination and predestinated. And when you get all foul, thousands of them, literally thousands of them type in, then ask yourself the same question. Have we majored on things that the prophet himself never majored on? Now, there's been a move around us for years and years called the Seven Thunder Move. For years, they majored on the two-term Seven Thunders. But you compare the amount of times a prophet of God said that to election, it don't even compare. That's just one word, much less predestination, predestinate. We have emphasized on so many things, but when we go to compare it in the amount of times he emphasized it, or we're sure we're emphasizing the same thing with the same amount of energy that the messenger himself did. Well, praise the Lord, you're quiet on me already. Now, you realize that you take the new birth away from the denominational teaching, they wouldn't have a whole lot to talk about. You type in the cross and say how many times the Bible mentions the cross. You type in the shedding of the blood in the New Testament. Do all these exactly the same way. And what you'll find out is that Satan, through his cunning religiosity, has been able to overwhelm man's preference to where that man no longer really even knows what the preference of New Testament gospel really is. And if you would preach the gospel in the way the New Testament preachers preached it, you're very much going to be misunderstood, not only out yonder, but I'm afraid even in our own ranks. Oh, praise the Lord. But I'd rather be misunderstood myself and obey the Spirit of the Lord than I would be to grieve the Spirit of God and try to please people. Because I found out a long time ago that's totally impossible. Because if I picked out five of you tonight and try to please you five, that means there's a whole bunch more I can't please. Well, if I please 10 of you, that means there's a whole bunch more I can't please. So I'd be better off, I figure, to concentrate on pleasing one, and then those of you that are interested in pleasing that one, somehow we'll get together. Instead of me and you trying to worry about pleasing one another, which, you know, our opinion doesn't really have much relevance in the eyes of God. Anyway, now notice what the prophet says here, that seeing who you are, that gives us a perfect settling of faith when you know those things. Now, I want you to notice again in St. John 6:45, when Jesus goes on with this same thought, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father cometh unto me. Now, it's not everybody, of course, that will be taught of God. But there will be a group of people which will be taught of God. And this is not, of course, external teaching of just knowing the Greek and the Hebrew and all that. And we know those things have their place. But being taught by God is the indwelling presence of the inside teacher that only the elect will have. Notice again Jesus saying, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. This is where the internal illumination of the presence of God will give insight to the elect of God. Others will spend their life trying to study it, trying to figure it out, and they'll never be able to do it. Why? They are not taught of God. They're taught by a pastor. They're taught by grandpa. They're taught by grandma. But Jesus didn't say all that are taught by the pastor, they will understand. But all that's taught by God will understand. And they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard what? Has heard who? Has heard whom? Who are we talking about? God. They have heard God teach. Well, you say, I've never heard God. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you have. You've heard God through the pastor. You've heard God through the evangelist. You've heard God through the prophet. You've heard God through visiting ministers that come to you that's anointed of the Holy Ghost. And you look at their humanity and you hear their stumblings and their misquotings of word and scripture and so on and so on. And that don't stumble you at all. Because you see God using that human instrumentality, and you know God's hearing through your human instrumentality. So it's no great marvel. But if God can hear through you, he can certainly speak through them. Right. Because we hear flawed. So I preach flawed to a flawed people. Our perception is flawed. Our ears are flawed. Our understanding are flawed. So the bottom line is, it's God the whole way. There ain't no way we'd ever get anything if it wasn't for the presence of God helping us. Now watch, every man therefore that has heard and hath learned of the Father, hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Not maybe, or perhaps, or they'll one day, they'll make up their mind, glory to God, they'll go down to the horns of the altar, and they'll consent, praise God, and they'll make up their mind, and that'll release me from eternity, and I'll be able to swoop down and do something inside of them, because they let me. You Methodist, you. You're not a word believer. You're an Armenian. Whew. Glory. Well. That has heard and has learned of the Father cometh to me. Look again. How positive. What positive affirmations that Jesus could say about those who are taught of the Father. They won't think about it. They won't pray about it. They won't consider it. They will do it. Oh, praise God, they will do it. Oh my. And he said, notice St. John 6:65, he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now notice, again, this shows plainly that the drawing comes from God. The power to enable you to even believe does not even start with you. Nothing can get you ready for grace but grace. How could you have had any grace in you as a human being to enable you to receive grace? How could a person in a lost condition ever be enabled by themselves to receive grace? What was it that moved on you? Grace. Grace was what moved on you when you were lost. What was grace doing? Grace started its work in you before you was even able to understand. It was grace that wooed you. It was grace that drawed you. It was grace that moved on your heart. That's something that you think was you. That's something that you think was you getting tired of living in sin. That was the work of grace beginning in your heart. You're thinking that's you. You're looking at you, well, I got made up my mind one day. It wasn't you. It was the grace of God that got a hold of you. Now, you want to know if I believe in free moral agency? Well, I most certainly do. The Bible does not use those terms, but the Bible teaches it. I believe in free moral agency. Not a trick statement, not a trick question. I believe in it. Watch now. Brother Ben says you're a free moral agent. You can act on whatever you desire to act upon. Right. God has put before man, like the Garden of Eden, the tree of life or the tree of death. You make your choice. See, whatever your soul is charmed for, that's what you'll eat. Now, whatever your soul is charmed for, that's what you'll eat. So, did you do the charming? Praise the Lord. Now, do we believe in free moral agency? Absolutely. And I believe, as I said on Wednesday night, you have the same choice that Adam had and Jesus. Right. Notice, God called Abraham because he was a good man. Asking a question. Brother Bram says no, and I hope you all will say the same thing. No. God called Abraham by election. God elects people. And over in the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, about the fifth verse, Paul states the word predestinated up to the adoption of son. Now, that doesn't mean that God just puts you in a little channel and runs you through. And you can't help if you how you go when you he would be no reward. But God gives you the free moral agency to make your choice, but God will keep his believer. Now notice your choice. God just said to you, well, I wore a blue sock and a pink sock to church. No, that couldn't happen. I ain't got no pink socks. Anyway, I wore a blue sock and it must have been ordained of God. Don't you blame that stupidity on God because you're colorblind. Well, I backslidden, got away from God. Must have been the will of God. Run my car in the pond. Must have been the will of God. No, friends, a lot of that stuff is our own doing. It ain't got nothing to do with God. And God has free moral agency before us and we make our choices. But just as I had the ability, of course, to be born into the Reagan family, I have that same choice to be born into the family of God. Y'all had a choice to be born into your natural family? Really? How unjust of your father! How unjust of your mother to bring him into the world to be addiction! Would you rather have been a Rockefeller? A Trump? A Clinton? You mean your mother and father was so unjust, Jim Babb, to bring you into the earth without your permission? Oh my goodness, how heart-wrenching. How unjust of our parents to bring us into this earth without our consent. Praise the Lord. Oh my, listen to this about divine love. Brother Bam says sometimes God can deal with an animal who can't act for itself before he can deal with a stony heart who's on free moral agency base, who can act according to the way you wish. You see, it's free moral agency that's caused a lot of these messages, folks, in the round around this message that's still dyed in the wool Armenian Methodist. It's their free moral agency. They're so proud of it, they won't let it go. And it'll knock them out of the body chains. Hold on to the prophet's teaching of the seals, the prophet's teaching of the thunders, the prophet's teaching of holiness, and hold on to the Dutch Reformed conception of Armenianism. Well, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed and go to Dairy Queen. Oh, my. Notice again, free moral agency says God placed the first man, Adam and Eve, right here on free moral agency. He places you the same place. And the only way that you can get this thing fixed in here is your own self-will. Hallelujah. Your self-will. You have to will to do God's will. You have to get rid of your own will to let God's will come in. Now, how in the world am I going to do that? I've got a will to do God's will, and yet my will don't want to do God's will. How can I ever do God's will when I've got to get rid of God's will, but I'm thinking it's my will that's going to will me to do God's will. It's my will that's going to keep me out of God's will. Well, how can I ever will to do God's will? Election. Oh, glory. Notice he said your self-will. You have to will to do God's will. You have to get rid of your own will to let God's will come in. For this is the only channel that leads you to the heart. Remember Sunday when Brother Darrell preached about the Lord Jesus? And how when Jesus was on the Garden of Gethsemane and gave us that beautiful description of how, putting it forth as a drama, that the Spirit, the Father, came down. Do you want to go through with this? Do you want this to go on? Jesus wasn't contemplating become a son of God or a son of the devil. The conference in the Garden of Eden was Jesus saying, I think I'm going to go out and get drunk. I think I'm going to go out and live evil. I think that's not what the will was about. He was the kinsman redeemer, and he must crucify his will. His will to what? His will not to suffer. The question was not, are you my son or are you going to be the devil's son? That was not what the question was even about. You are on this earth, and the question is not, are you going to be a son or daughter of God? That's not what we're even talking about. You were a son or daughter of God before there was ever a world. That's not what the question is. When it moved from the eternal to the second attribute, the Logos, I moved with it. When that later became the person of Melchizedek, I was in Melchizedek. Melchizedek disappears in the book of Genesis, and we don't hear no more about him. But he reappeared again in the Gospels. For Melchizedek later became Jesus Christ. And when Melchizedek reappeared again, I was in him. Brother Donnie, that's crazy. No, it ain't crazy. When my daddy was a little boy, I was in his genes. When my grandpa died, my grandpa Rager, I was 5 or 6 months old, something like that. I never even got to see him. But when he was a little boy, he was carrying me around in his loins. Hallelujah. When his daddy was a boy, he was carrying me around. Glory to God. And then it came down to my grandpa Ben Reagan. And then it came down to my daddy. And then I become a manifestation. Now here I am. But I was in my father when he was in his father. When he was in his father, I was in Jesus. I was in Melchizedek. I was in the eternal before he became the Word. Glory to God. Notice in Luke 22:41, Jesus, when he had withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What do we see? Jesus on free moral agency. And what's the free moral agency got to do with? Service, not choice of kin. Do you understand? Your free moral agency has nothing to do with your choice of kin. Do I want to be a son of the devil or a son of God? You was a son or daughter of God before there even was a devil. What's the battle of your life about? The very same thing. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. I love this. And spoken words originally on a seed. He said, the second son, a seed word of God, was given a bride like Adam. But before he could marry her, she had fallen also. For she was put to a free moral agency like Adam's wife was. Now this is the basis the early church was put on. Free moral agency. But look what the free moral agency was about. To believe God's word and live, or doubt it and die. When Adam chose to leave the word, did he become a son of the devil? Listen, don't answer me till you know what you're talking about. Adam never became a son of the devil. It was totally impossible. What was he? A fallen son of God. He never made it. I got free will. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And God made me serve him. God made me out of the earth. I didn't want to serve him in the first place. Get out of here, God. I'm tired of you. I don't want you, God. That's not what it was all about. Adam chose by his free moral agency to leave the protection of that word for his wife's sake. And what did God do when God knew he was lost? It was the father's part to act out Goel, the kinsman redeemer. Because the closest one that was kin to Adam was God. So God came down and took the life of a lamb and threw the skin of that lamb over in the bush. And Adam and his wife come walking out. Why? Amen. He now come to make a covering for that man's sin. Then he said, all right, now you're a sinner. You're going to hell. I'll never see you again. Let me tell you one thing. When you walk down the streets of gold, you think you're going to be shouting and screaming, glory, hallelujah. I imagine one of the loudest voices we'll hear through eternity is going to be Adam. You imagine, Adam, you think of what you've done wrong and the guilt that you feel in your life. Can you imagine being the first man, the first human being that sold out the entire human race? And does God damn you to hell? No, sir. You're his son. Adam done more than all of us put together. Why didn't God throw him in hell? He could throw him in hell. Hallelujah. Notice this, he says, if he had chose the stars to preach the gospel, it had been done a long time ago. That never got out of his will. If he chose the sun to preach it, or the winds to preach it, that had never got out of his will. But we're on the basis of free moral agency. We can act the way we want to. And that's the reason we've been such a heartache to him. The thing that you idolize, your free moral agency. And that's the very thing that's broke his heart over and over again. And you're worshiping your free moral agency. And it's broken his heart. Let's bring our free moral agency where it belongs, under the sovereignty of God. Praise the Lord. You believe it, Brother Donnie? I do, under the sovereignty of God. When you put your free moral agency above the sovereignty of God, you're under the anointing of the devil to do so. Oh, I know it stings you a little bit, but it's the truth. It's self-worship. It's will worship. You're exalting your will above the sovereignty of God. Oh, help us, Jesus. That's the reason we've been such a heartache to him. Always this way, and wanting to inject our own ideas and get away from his way. And the church said, amen. He always works through man because he had to use a man. Oh my. A man is what he had to use to display his attribute of Savior. He had to make him in his image, make him something like him, and put him on the base, on his notice, free moral agency, and let him act any way he wanted to. He could take his choice, and he knew that man, by giving him this choice, would fall. God knew what man would do. This
This is how powerful, friends, free moral agency is. Unless it's controlled by a higher power. What's caused preachers in our message to backslide and go out and commit adultery with other preachers' wives or other people's wives, or go to adding to the word and doing? What's caused it? This great, powerful thing you love so much, free moral agency. I got mine, and I want it tamed. I want it under the control of my Father. I acknowledge I got free moral agency. That's what's gotten me in so much trouble all of my life. Thank the sovereignty of God. It's my ignorance and free moral agency. Oh, praise the Lord. Now watch. He says he could take his choice, and he knew that man, by giving him this choice, would fall. You mean God knew that? God knew that from the beginning. In order to give himself reason and purpose of being, he must make a man that would require salvation. But he can't make the man fall. So God fixes that with one simple thing. Makes the man in the image of God, then puts that man in the image of beast, and put in that man the ability to choose. And that choice is so powerful. He knew what man would choose. Can you imagine people in the right mind choosing to be lost and choosing, instead of choosing to go to heaven? People choosing to go in the tribulation period instead of choosing to go in the rapture? Billions of them are choosing it, friends. Why? They'd rather live in the world or act like the world, do the things you want. That's what their choice does. You better thank God for election. Oh my. I ain't scared of predestination. I'm more scared of my own free will than I am that. Predestination don't scare me. Sovereignty don't scare me. It's me that scares me. Be honest. Look at yourself. Who's got you in more trouble? Your election or your free will? Oh my. I love this. Thank God. Anybody else love it with me? Well, good. Three or four of you did. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad the rest of you come in here. Maybe you'll love it the time we get done. Notice now. Oh, my. He says, and Paul a prisoner, now we're all born of free moral agency. To make any decision we wish to. God justly does that because he must put every man on the same basis. Or he put the wrong man, he said, put the first man on the wrong basis, and then he put on free moral agency. We're just exactly tonight like Adam. 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 No, I'm not stuck. Just exactly tonight like Adam. And Eve, there's no difference. Right and wrong sets before either one of us. Don't you see what sets before you? Right and wrong. Not sonship. Lord of mercy, if I was down here at Free Will Baptist, they'd done been turning these benches over. What's this before you? Right and wrong. Right? Do I want to be a son of God? Do I want to be a son of the devil? Let me contemplate this. That's not what's before you. Right and wrong. And Brother Bam said, life and death, and we make our choice. Up to you to make it. That's the way Adam and Eve did, see? And they made the wrong choice. And now by that, put the whole race of the human race under death, the penalty of death. And then God came down in the form of man and took that death and paid the penalty of death. His subjects, the desire to be free, could go free. Now if he took us, without the same that he did Adam and Eve and pulled us through something and said, I'll save you whether you want to be saved or not. He put Adam and Eve on their own basis, you see. But each one of us has to choose this day between death and life. Christ's a mystery. Oh, the great revelation to restore back his kinship. To bring back. He had to let them get lost, you understand. He had to let them sin, put them on free moral. He could not make them sin and remain God, and then punish them for something He made them do. All these people I hear that choose to go to hell, God is not sending a one of them. They choose to go that way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, brother, what about those that are elect, though? Okay. Well, it's sort of like that family barbecue that I was telling you all about. That my family is invited when it warms up warm weather. But that's not a whosoever will barbecue. That's only family members. Now you folks answered me that night when I said that and said that wasn't unfair and unjust. It's the same with Father. You see, when He put man on partnership with Him, then let him act as a free moral agent, that's the same thing He's got you on today. You act the way you want to, you're a free moral agent. So therefore, if He put the first like that, He has to put the second like that and every other one. This is why the elect must have free moral agents. But this is also why the elect must have a little spot, a little pool, a little something. If not, even they wouldn't respond in the right way. Glory to God. Brother Ben says, I know they got a lot of Armenian listeners tonight. But I want to clear this up to you. God told Abraham by election and grace, I'm going to bring you to me in an old age. In other words, I'm going to save you and I'm going to take you through. You're going to live a long life and you're going to have a child. Oh, praise God. And never even asked Abraham if it was okay to do it, did he? Again, Brother Bam said, now, here are you Armenian teachers. Now, brethren, I don't mean to rub this in now, but I want you to just watch this real close to show you that it's not by works. It's by grace, by election, by foreknowledge. It's God that does the saving. You have nothing to do with it. Not Him that will us or Him that run us, but it's God that show us mercy. Notice Abraham come up here on the side of the hill and watch the birds, and he said he piled them together, and he said, now you watch the birds off of them, and the sun is going down, and the Bible said a deep sleep fell on Abraham. You haven't got nothing to do with it, Abraham. I'm going to shut you out and show you. What? Amen. It's not what you can do or what you want. It's Him. It's me doing it. I'm doing the saving. Saved him when he started. Told him he'd come to him in an old age. He saved his seed after him. God did it by His sovereign grace. So what are you scared about? That's what's the matter with the church. They're afraid. You see, the true teaching of election and predestination and foreknowledge drives fear away. Brother Donnie, I know people who say they believe that and they live any way they want to. Well, they ain't got the true teaching of it. Praise the Lord. Oh my, what you scared about? That's what's the matter with the church. You're afraid. Don't be afraid. If God be for you, who can be against you? Stop being afraid. Paul said in Romans 9:15, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Yes. I thought it was my will. Paul didn't teach it that way. You see, friend, the strength of tradition. You see what tradition is? It so corrupts our thinking that we will not even take the pure, unadulterated word. Yeah.
We will pull Holy Scripture through our tainted traditional concepts and bend that Scripture to make it fit our views. This is why this needs to be preached. It is not of him that willeth. Look at the word. Thelio or El Thelio. Will, would, desire, desirous. To will, have in mind, intend, to desire, to wish. So according to Paul, it's not him that wishes, wants, hopes, bets, gambles, prays, talks in tongues. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. But Brother Donnie, I know I give my will. Of course you did, honey. I agree with that 100%. But I say it was him who gave you the ability to will. Again, Brother Ben says, all Armenian brothers, I don't mean to pinch your toes. No, he didn't stop pinching them. He just said he didn't mean to. I don't mean to pinch your toes, but just listen a little bit. I don't mean to push this in now, but I want you to listen to me for a minute. When he did this, a deep sleep come on Abraham to show that he had nothing at all to do. God's making a covenant with this man, and this man goes to sleep in the midst of the covenant. And God was the one who put him to sleep. Oh, wait a minute, Lord, I've got to consent to this. I've got to sign this 3,752-page document here that I'll let you do this, and I agree you can do that, and yes, sir, and that's okay, and that's okay. God said, I'll show you how important you are, boy. Go to sleep. Shut your eyes and go to sleep. I've already done this. I've chosen you. I've saved you. I've called your seed. I'm going to see you through. You're going to live to be a long life. I've already done it. As for me, my covenant is with thee. Go to sleep. And the covenant was going to be completely, he says it again, completely God's grace, unconditionally. Friends, I'm convinced a lot of folks in this message do not understand and comprehend an unconditional covenant. If you put one condition, one, that God had to have your permission, you have broke your entire covenant. You'll never live victorious. Because every time you fall short, you're going to beat yourself to death because you're under Arminianism.
That's right. Amen.
Truly, after Calvin got through with predestination, there needed to be a reformation. They got to a place that didn't even believe in revivals. They didn't believe in mission work. Out of there comes Jacobius Arminius. Out of there comes John Wesley. John Wesley, the Methodist Church, was the biggest propagator of Arminianism. And the Pentecostals, being legalists, took it right up. And folks around this message, many of them have come right through the Methodist and the Pentecostal teachings in this message. And their hearts have been turned back to water baptism. Their hearts have been turned back to holiness. And they're still believing the Dutch Reformed teaching of predestination in the 16th century. Well, glory to God. But I'm like Caleb, not me. Not me. I don't believe Dutch Reformed theology. I believe Pauline theology. I believe original word theology. Not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Oh my. The covenant was completely God's grace, unconditional. It wasn't something they could do. God was going to do it unconditionally. Abraham went to sleep. Abraham, you're out of the picture. Notice again in adoption. Now then, when we were by one spirit baptized into that body, that one body, which is Christ, we are safe forever. That
That's where it seems to strangely strike, especially the Armenian believers. I want you to notice where this sermon is preached at. It's the Adoption Series, Branham Tabernacle, 1960. So what do we have? Armenian believers sitting in the Branham Tabernacle. They hadn't been washed to their tradition yet. Yet they're following the prophet, so they said. Sitting under the message, so they said. Following 16th and 17th century teaching on predestination. You know, when it gets like this, I actually get to a place I start feeling sorry for the devil, because I think, man alive, I mean, he's got all the guns of heaven aimed right at him. He's got this big target right on his back, and he's running down to hell as far as he can get. But my atomic weapons reach plumb down into hell, devil. My, the Armenian brothers, that you have to do something to merit yourself or some meritorial something. How can it be by two things at the same time? It's either by grace or by works. One. Now, wait a minute, Brother Donnie. I'm not Armenian by works. I'm just Armenian by will. You are Armenian by works. Brother Tony, you're not turning into a Baptist, are you? Lord, no. Goodness, why in the world would I want to come down from this eternal roost with the eagles down to a Baptist hen house? Amen. This ain't Baptist. Amen. This is eternal word. Amen. My. And whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being what? How do we get this inheritance? How do we get it? Because we walked upright? How do we get this inheritance? Because we were predestinated. My Armenian brothers, I know that's awfully hard. And I don't aim to hurt. But it just does me so good to know it. Can you imagine something that done Brother Branham so good hurt the Armenian sitting there? I can imagine that. I've been watching the same thing for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Notice this in the Sardesian church age. He that overcometh, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Once again, we come to a most difficult portion of the word. This verse, superficially regarded, will be used by both the Armenians and the Calvinists to suit their purposes. The Armenians will acquire that this verse assuredly annuls St. John 6:37. All the Father hath given me will come to me. All that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. Now watch. First scripture will be opened up. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last days. Then the Jews murmured at him, because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. Now watch this, what Armenianism does. Armenianism makes the will of the Father not a sovereign purpose, but merely a complacent desire as he stands back to see what all men do. Think about it. This is what Armenianism does in this church and in this message. Message followers now. It makes the will of God, the sovereign will of God, as a complacent something that God stands back. And he can't do anything. Well, glory. I thought this was so good. I don't know what in the world's wrong. I mean, I thought this was so wonderful myself. Armenianism makes the will of the Father not a sovereign purpose, but merely a complacent desire as he stands back to see what all men will do with his good and gracious gifts, even life eternal. So God has this desire to have him elect people. God has this desire, these attributes. See, don't nobody tell him. Don't nobody tell him. He thinks his children was in him before the world began. Don't tell him. He don't know. He don't know that we have to choose him. He don't know that. See, he thought when he come from the eternal spirit and he come down to the second attribute, he passed to the word, he thought his kids passed with him. Don't tell him. We'll tell him when we get there. We'll just all come up around, John, and say, now look, Papa, we'd like to straighten you out on some of the stuff about sovereignty. If you don't mind sitting down on the throne there, there's a couple of us theologians here would like to explain to you how wrong you are. If you got that attitude, I'm not sure you'll even be there, even on the outside of the city. Us knuckleheads ain't even got enough sense to get out of the rain. And we're going to tell God what's fair and what's not fair. Who do you think you are? You're an absolute imbecile. You've lost your mind. You're totally insane. A perfect being that has never made a mistake. And that's all a lot of us are. One mistake after another, after another, after another. And we're going to tell the eternal how to run his business. Not me, friends. Not me. He's perfect in every way. Well, praise the Lord. Let me go a little farther. Now, works are fine, but they don't save you. They don't make you perfect. And it is Christ or perish. It is not even Christ and works. It is Christ alone. This age began the years of Arminianism. Now, notice this Philadelphian age, which is the age of Wesley, which merges right over to the Laodicean age of Pentecost. This age began the years of Arminianism that does not believe in Christ as the reality. You see, you're holding on to Arminianism because you think it's protecting your will and your choice. But Satan knows if he can keep you in that bondage, it will rob you from the reality of Christ. How sad that we have message folks that have been around this message for 40, 50 years and they're still held by Methodism. Praise God. This age began the years of Arminianism that does not believe in Christ as the reality. It does not sing of nothing but the blood, for it sings of nothing but the blood and my own conduct. Or my own will, whichever you want to say it, of course. Now, I believe in good conduct, and if you are saved, you will do righteously. We have already gone over that, but let me tell you, salvation is not Jesus plus. It is Jesus alone. Glory to God. Salvation is of the Lord from start to finish. It is all God. Let his life be in me. Let his blood that cleanses me. Amen. Let it be his spirit that fills me. Let it be his word in my heart and my mouth. Let it be his stripes that heal me. Let it be Jesus and Jesus alone. Not by works of righteousness which I have done. No, sir. Christ in my life. Amen. Now, let us turn a corner. You see, this whole thing that we're looking at is a display of the sovereignty of God through the plan of redemption or reconciliation. In Genesis chapter 48, verse 15, Jacob, speaking of Jacob here, and he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. Bless the lads. Let my name be named on them. And remember, this is when he's crossed his hands. Notice when the word redeem is first used in the Bible, it's under the sign of the cross. Glory to God. When Jacob has crossed his hands and blessing the sons of Joseph, and he said, the angel which redeemed me. Glory to God. Look at this word redeemed. I'll put it up so you can read it. To redeem, act as a kinsman redeemer. Goel. is a Hebrew word. Avenge, revenge, ransom, do the part of a kinsman, do the part of the next of kin. The next of kin. So there had been an angel on the earth that had redeemed Jacob. And he calls him his Goel. Exodus chapter 6 verse 5. I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you. Amen. Now remember, there's two words that are used for redeem in the Hebrew and the Old Testament. One of them is Goel, which is this word here. The other one is another word which is used to pay the ransom for something which is not necessarily yours. But notice how God, in dealing with his elect, identifies himself as the Goel. Not someone outside of your family who is paying your debt. And you are undeserving of that and unworthy of that. This is the part he played for the book of life. This is the part he's played for the church. But this is not the part he's played for the bride. For the bride, he is her Boaz. Glory to God. I will redeem you. Now remember, the prophet tells us the word redeem means to bring back or to buy back. In verse 7, I will take you to me for a people, and I will be unto you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you forth out of under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land concerning which I did swear to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give it to them for an heritage. I am the Lord. Exodus 15:13, thou in thy mercy has led us forth, thy people, which thou hast redeemed. Same word, Goel. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Same word, Leviticus 25:25. If thy brother be waxen poor and has sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. You see, the work of the kinsman redeemer, help me Lord, had nothing to do with the free moral agency of the man who was sold because of the debt. There were two laws when it come to people who'd sold their possessions. One was the Gentiles, which was among the Jews. And another was the Jews that became poor and sold themselves to their brothers or to the Gentiles. A Gentile slave was your property by the law. He could be bought and sold, but one Jew could not sell another one. A Gentile was not liberated under the Jubilee because he was not of the same blood. The Jubilee only covered kinfolks. Glory to God. So if a man got poor and sold part of his inheritance because of a debt, say, I got in a bad way. And I went down to Brother Horn's and I knocked on the door. Brother Horn, buddy, me and Carol's in a bad way. I just wonder if I could sell myself to do some work for you around here. I see you're still working on this tree. And About time to put mulch out. And I know you do a lot of that yourself and you're picky like I am. You like to do it yourself, but I promise I'll try to do it as close to you as I can. Is there anything that Carol could do? Maybe it helps Sister Alice around the house because we're in a bad way. And I promise you, I'll be down here. I mean, it's going to change a lot of things in our life. But I'll be here from 8 to 4, 5 days a week. Whatever I've got to do in order to pay this debt and get rid of this. I'll sell myself. Now, a Jew could not make another brother a slave. He was to give him the status of a hired servant. But he would actually pay him for himself. He would give him, all right, Brother Donnie, so what do you need? Well, I've got to have $1,000 by, you know, by the next week or they're going to cut my lights off them or whatever it is. But I promise you, if you give me this in advance, I'll sell you my time. I'll sell you. I'll rearrange my life and give you first priority. Now, if I would have been under the law and Harry would have heard about this, and him and Karen would have talked about it, and said, oh my goodness, I can't believe Brother Donnie didn't come talk to us. Oh, he should have come and talked to us about that. Why did he do that? He don't need to do that. Brother Horn's a good man, but my goodness, he needs to be studying. Then Harry could pick up the phone or go to Brother Horn's house. And by law, he didn't even need my consent. Lord have mercy. Somebody hold my microphone. I'm going to run down to Dairy Queen and back. Glory to God. He didn't have to come over and sit down and talk to me. I said, what do you think about this, baby? I heard you in this hard way and I want to do it. By law, he was my brother. He was my kinsman and he could go straight to Brother Horn and pay that debt. And he didn't come and say, now I'm thinking about doing this. Do I have your permission? The law gave him my permission as my kinsman. Now, if I was a Gentile sold to a Jew, I was under a complete different arrangement altogether. Hallelujah. That's why the Lord Jesus in divine sovereignty could come down to this earth and purchase his bride without your consent. He didn't need it. He was your goal. He didn't need your permission. The law of God under grace gave him that. And Harry could come to my house and say, Brother Donnie, you're free.
That's right. Glory.
You don't have to go back to Brother Horn's tomorrow. Just unless you want to.
Sure.
But I made these arrangements. I'm under this debt of sin. I'm under this. No, you're not. I paid your price. I've redeemed you from that debt.
Amen. Amen.
A true believer can say glory, and Armenian will say, you mean you done that without my permission? You need your brain fixed. Much less some spiritual revelation. You're going to argue with a man that paid your debt? You're going to argue with a man that bought you and set you free? Let me close. Can you imagine these poor people? It's going to show up in the morning and I'm going to land right back in the middle of this and they're going to be thinking, what in the world? If thy brother be waxing poor, if it's sold away some of his possession. You see, all my inheritance wasn't gone. My right to be family was still mine. He didn't sell his kinship. Notice the way the Bible says it. He sold away part of his inheritance. Adam sold away my right to live forever. in the Garden of Eden. This is what Adam done for us. Adam sold away my right to live forever in that human body, right? Like yours. But thank God he couldn't take my name off the book. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just seen that. Praise God. Adam could not sell the title deed. He only sold part of my possession. My health, my happiness, my peace, so on and so on. If any of thy brother waxen poor and have sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem. Notice how positive. Not with his consent, not with his permission. This is a command. Then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. So Adam, my brother, sold my peace. And Jesus, my God, became my brother and bought it back. Hang with me. Adam sold it without my consent. Jesus bought it back without it. Woo-hoo-hoo. Hallelujah. Did Adam have your permission to sell your peace? Did Adam have your permission, Brother Jim, to sell away your health? By the head of the race, he represented us all. So God become kin. Or should I say, revealed that he was kin. Verse 47, if a sojourner or a stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family. So a stranger moved in on this possession of ours. And he waxed himself rich. And we were sold out to that stranger. And we got poor, didn't we? After that he is sold. Verse 48. Jump down a couple of verses, Brother Daniel. After that he is sold. He may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him. Or if he be able, he may redeem himself. It laid in your spiritual DNA to redeem yourself, but you didn't have the worth. It lays in your genetic code. You are part of the family of redemption. But since you'd waxed poor in sin, you're totally bankrupt. So you couldn't redeem yourself. Hebrews 2:11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Amen. You love him. Amen. You love him. With all your heart. Don't you understand? The picture of redemption for the elect, it's a different story than the church.
The church is not the prodigal son. The elect are the prodigal son. We were sold out, Brother Terry. Totally sold out to sin. And no way to redeem ourselves. Praise God. But he come down without your consent, without your permission, without your prayers, without your fasting. Simply because he was kin to you and he could do it. He's obligated by God's law to redeem you.
Amen.
To you, it's not by choice. Oh, you want to be a servant of God? You want to be a son of God? To these. Whosoever will, let them come and take of the water of life. This law of redemption don't apply to them in that way.
Amen.
They're not family. To me, oh, you said that ain't grace to me. I see the grace of God to them in one sense of the word in a more overwhelming manner than it is to the elect. Because to you, you've got something there that helps pull you. They don't even have that. He is so determined to save some of them. He will save them and grace will move on their hearts and help them to override even their free moral agency.
Hallelujah.
You're talking about grace. If it was not for his grace, there wouldn't be one of them saved. There would be nothing, no way for them to ever come to it. But the grace of God knocks and knocks and knocks and knocks and gives them the ability, even without that representation, to accept him. Oh my. Let me close with this scripture. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. You mean to tell me Paul taught that they were children before they were flesh and blood? They were children before the act of redemption. Read your Bible, friends. Strip Arminianism out of your conscience. Read the Bible once the way it's written. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. So the flesh and blood ain't the children part. Lord have mercy. What's the children part? The seed, the attribute, the children partook of flesh and blood. The children is not the flesh and blood part. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. The devil still may let him live next door to me, but I'll make him pay to live in my neighborhood. Come on now. He may still live next door to me and he may try to put sickness on me and afflict me and this, that, and other. He's a hard neighbor to move out. But he's going to pay. Because my brother, my master, my Lord showed up on my doorstep and gave me the book of Ruth. I mean the book of redemption. The title deed. Hallelujah. And said, you're free. You don't have to show up at his house no more. No more cutting the devil's grass. No more cleaning the devil's windows. No more taking out the devil's trash. No more smoking the devil's pot. Drinking the devil's alcohol. Smoking the devil's cigarettes. You don't have to do it no more. You are free. I have redeemed you. You are free. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you. We are so grateful tonight, I fear. Lord, we're not grateful enough to think of what you've done. Oh, Jesus, we're all so sold out. My, your grace is so merciful, wondrous to the elect. But then even beyond that, that you would be willing that your house be full. You want millions to inhabit that new earth. So your grace will move on a drunk's heart. Maybe they're sitting in a bar room tonight. Maybe they're smoking, drinking, doing whatever more, not thinking about you, have no desire to live for you. And your mercy will knock on that old drunk's heart. He might come by this church in the morning and come by here and try to sit here for 6 months. And I don't understand nothing. They're saying, I can't stand this stuff. They're driving me crazy. I don't understand nothing. He might drive down the road, find a church and sit there. And now this is more what I'm looking for. But if your grace got a hold to his heart and helped him to receive you as Savior, he may go no farther than that. But to me, it was a picture of your amazing grace. The man with no representation, no seed life. And yet your grace so moved upon him. It enabled his will to say yes. It overpowered the hold of the enemy. You acted his redeemer, but yet not his kinsman. So it's like going into the pawn shop. I mean, all those different types of people that go into the pawn shop. So a man can go in a pawn shop and he's hard up and he needs to sell something. So he has a DeWalt table saw. He has a Ryobi drill. He has different tools. And he goes into the guy, what are you getting me for these? Why? You want to sell them? No, I don't want to sell them. I want to get them back maybe at the end of the week. All right, I'll loan you this, 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 and this and charge you so much. All right. End of the week comes, he gets paid, he goes back in. He gets his tools. But while he's in there, somebody else comes in. And they bought a Ryobi drill that looked just like his. Because the person who owned it sold it or didn't meet the payment. Now another man walks out of that pawn shop with a drill, which wasn't his in the first place. And they both come from the pawn shop. So maybe this guy who pawned his sees another one there for $10. And he's saying, man, I could use that second one. That would come in handy. Save my batteries from going down. So while he's there, he redeems his own and buys that other one for a spare to live outside the city. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah! And both of those drills could call him redeemer. But his relationship to both of them is not exactly the same. The one could say, I was in his toolbox and I come from his toolbox and I got lost out of his toolbox for a while, but now I'm back in his toolbox again. And the other one can say, I wasn't in his toolbox. I didn't belong to him. I don't deserve it. I'm not part of it, but I'm in his toolbox now. Hallelujah. For by grace am I saved. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, Father. Open our understanding tonight, I pray, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Can we just worship him tonight, children? Oh, you elect, how grateful y'all to be. You come from his mind and you were sold. Your rich neighbor had you in bondage. Glory to God. And Jesus came down without your permission, without your consent, without your agreeing to it, and said, I'm your brother. I'm going to buy you. Hallelujah. And then he showed up one day at a Baptist church or wherever you was at and started leading you to liberty. May he complete more of that tonight and set you free from tradition. Praise God. I don't want to give up my will. Sure you want to do if you're like seed. God ain't wanting to take your will from you. God's wanting you to put your will under His will where it belongs. Amen. We'll always have a will, but just keep it in the right place. Don't make your will the author of your eternal life. Let the sovereignty of God be the author of your life, not you. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus, I bless your name today, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise God. Aren't you happy tonight, children?
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Think of that life you used to live, running errands for the devil and doing his bidding and doing whatever he wanted you to do. And Jesus showed up on your front door and said, you're free. You don't have to do that stuff no more. You're free. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. But you realize this law did not apply to a house that was inside a walled city. If a Jew had a house inside a walled city, that house could only be redeemed within a period of 1 year. If it was not redeemed within that 1 year, it was forfeited forever. The walled city being the type of the denominational system. Isn't it amazing? Villages were under the law of redemption. The country, the regions on the outside of the walled city under the law of redemption. But a house inside the walled city controlled by man, manipulated by man, dictated by man. You only had a short period of time to get out. And if you didn't get out, you forever forfeited your rights of property. You ought to be grateful tonight you're out. Many of us, our houses used to be in them walls. Praise God, saints. Our houses used to be in them walls. But thank God we got out before the wall, the gate shut. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Let's worship Him together. Hey, sing something. Let's just worship Him together, can we? Oh my. This ought to make us love Him so much tonight. Praise God. Let's lay our wills, our desires, our ambitions, everything we are, right before His great presence. Praise God. Praise God. Lord Jesus. We worship You, God. Let's worship Him together. Lord Jesus, we bless Your name. Let's worship our Redeemer. He was worthy. He was willing. And He had the worth to do it. He redeemed every name that was on that Lamb's Book of Life. And He still had wealth to buy more. Praise God. So wealthy He could redeem the whole Lamb's Book. And then He said, I'll keep redeeming. I'll redeem the earth. I'll redeem the heavens. I'll redeem the universe. And I'll redeem millions times millions out of the Book of Life. My worth is so great. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless Your name, Lord God. Oh, Jesus. Our Redeemer. We bless Your name tonight, Lord. Oh, precious Lord. Let's just close our eyes now. Let's just raise our hands while we're in the presence of our Redeemer. I worship You. Who are are you? All mighty God, there is none like you. We do, Lord Jesus. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my right. Oh, let's worship him. Let's worship him. Hallelujah. I worship you, my Redeemer, my Savior. I bless your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's none like you. Oh, blessed Jesus. Blessed Jesus. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. Hallelujah.
You set me free.
Oh, yes, you did. Oh, sweet Jesus.
So I'll shake off these heavy chains.
Amen.
Wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. Heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be.
Thank you, Lord. Let the bride sing it now.
I am redeemed.
Oh, you set me free.
You set me free. Chains, wipe away every stain.
You know, under that law of redemption, when one had the next of right to redeem, as Tob did to redeem Ruth, when Tob refused that right, the Targum of Jonathan says Ruth walked up and spat in his face and smacked him. And Boaz comes up and says, then I will assume that right. Tob takes off his shoe and gives the shoe to Boaz. Means he forever forfeits his right to walk on that property. Oh, hallelujah! When he took off his shoe and gave it to Boaz, he said, I forfeit my right for Ruth to be my bride. I forfeit my right for Ruth to bring forth my children. I forfeit my right for this home of Ruth to be my home. And he took off his shoe and gave it or threw it to Boaz.
Amen.
Glory to God. When the Lord Jesus took his rights and the devil had no more claim on us, We, hallelujah to God, we cannot bring forth His children. We will not give image to His name. We will not bear His seed. He forfeited forever His rights. We belong to Jesus. Glory. Glory. Remember Caleb, when he looked at it in the scripture, he said footprints. The prophet tells us meant possession. Everywhere the soles of your feet trod, they're yours. The devil trying to make you sick and afflict you in his body, put up your no trespassing signs. Oh, he won't give up, but stand right there with your double barrel shotgun loaded down with pistols, hand grenades, everything else, and said, you're a liar. By his stripes, I'm healed. But Brother Donnie, this blood pressure seems like it won't go away. It will go away. You speak to it in the name of your King. If sin is subject to him, oh my, if sin is subject and sickness is subject, one day even mortality will be brought subject in our bodies. We will force our bodies to be changed. Why? Our kinsman bought our house. But Brother Donnie, you're more gray-headed. I realize that. If the Lord lets me live in a few months, I'll be 60 years old. 60 going on 20. Right? Why? I'm redeemed. I don't have the full possession in this yet, but I'm well on my way. 2/3 of me's done got there. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you love him, children? Don't you appreciate predestination and election and foreknowledge and takes all the scare out of it. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We love you tonight, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we bless your name, Lord Jesus. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. One day you showed up on earth's door. Hallelujah. Without our permission, without our consent, you showed up to redeem us. Lord, I think I seen it Sunday for the first time, and Brother Darrell quoted that scripture. It's just like it hit me in the face of the boxcar. Yes, sir. When God created the heavens and the earth, and the heavens, planets, and stars without number. And you congregated them all together under one categorical name and called them heavens. But you call that little speck of dust by her given name, earth. Amen. And you separated that little tiny speck of dust out of the whole universe and called her by her name, the heavens and the earth. It's like I could hear my name being called. A little tiny speck of dust down here in the realm of mortality. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You called each one of our names, Father. Thank you, Lord, and give us our inheritance back. We worship you tonight, Lord. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let's just give him a hand of praise tonight. He's worthy. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. Let's sing it together as we go. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. The part of your property that was sold was not your kinship. It Give us your freedom to use it. The prodigal son's sonship was not sold. It was his liberty to use it. That's why when he comes back, his daddy don't say, all right, you got to go back in your mother's womb now and be reborn. I've got to sire you again. You got to come down through the genetic pool. What does he do? Restores what he lost. Puts on a family robe, a family ring, family shoes, and they have a barbecue. Glory! Go kill the fatted calf, my son! What do you say about him? My son was a sinner. My son was a child of the devil. My son was lost, but now he's found. My son was blind, but now he sees. That's true redemption to the elect. You was lost, truly, but you were always his. Hallelujah. God bless you. I'll see you in the morning. Lord, pray for me that the Lord will help me. Today I was so caught up into His Word. I was nearly beside myself. Since I've been sitting on this for weeks, I found myself in a sphere with God. And I just have to calm myself back down and come down. And I went up to upstairs to see Carol and Ellie for a little while just to kind of come back at myself. To me, that's what His Word does. When it can make it so real that you lose sight of what's around you. So pray for me that the Lord will help me in the morning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a prodigal son like me. I was lost, never a devil's child, but just lost. But now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. I was always His from before the world began, and His I will forever be. Seven seals revealed from eternity. Glory to God, sing to us, Jesus. You were mine before time ever began. You were with me in the back part of my mind. I thought of you before there was Adam's or even time. And now we're united. You're going home with me, my little bride. You see, you were mine when you were out in that dark and sinful world. You were mine before you even knew right from wrong. Oh God, you were mine because I loved you and I called your precious name. I sent the evening light to make you mine and bring you back where you belong. And now let's sing it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, somebody help me sing it now. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name, Lord. Great Adonai, I worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you praise and adoration tonight, mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Adam sold you in the beginning as the head of the human race. I placed him in the garden that day. I needed purpose and manifestation to give me reason to exist. But I knew that I would come and I would be the head of that brand new race. Glory, hallelujah! But you see, all along, all your names were inscribed right here. They were written in the palms. It was sold out that day. But Adam didn't have access to take your name from my hand. Oh, glory. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God for that. Praise God. Adam couldn't sell my name. Praise God. I bless your name. I bless your name. Hallelujah. Who I was yours. Oh, God. I bless you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's sing it together when we've been there. Oh, when we've been there. Shiny. Those that are in the toolbox and those that wasn't in the toolbox. Oh, even though less days to sing our God's praise. God bless you, saints. Amen. See you in the morning, Lord willing. We first